Good morning. Just after 8 o'clock, you are tuned in to Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, flagship station of the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line. We are here every Sunday live in the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio in Las Vegas. The we includes co-host Caleb Herring, the last UNLV quarterback to lead them to a bowl game. Might be a bit before they get back to another one. And he is the radio color voice of Rebel Football and the co-host of the Tony Sanchez Show Wednesday nights throughout the season on our sister station, ESPN The Leader. Also here, Jose Sudden Death Volonte, and driving the bus, the best damn producer in Las Vegas, Chris Magnum Chapman, who has spent the last two seasons moonlighting as the Vegas Golden Knights radio locker room reporter. I know he likes that moonlighting term. The show is also streaming on the LV Sports Network, and you can watch the show on Facebook Live on my personal page, on Caleb's personal page, on Jose's personal page, and on the show's Facebook page, which is called Out of Line. That's O-U-T-T-A-L-I-N-E. The show is live, and the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio line is 702-876-1340. Use it!
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Good morning, everybody. Well, it's a good morning, unless you're a UNLV fan, that's for sure. What's up, everybody? I'm Jose Sendez Volonte, and it's time for What's on Tap. What's on Tap is brought to you by our title sponsor, the Cardinal Financial Company, the only choice when looking for answers about home financing. Check out cardinalfinancial.com. On tap today, not sure how we're going to squeeze all this in here today, Mags, but we got UNLV and the Aviators lost last night. Fun times for Vegas. The Las Vegas Aces play their final regular season game today with playoff positioning on the line. That's going to be fun as well. And I know you're ready for some football. NFL is back Sunday, thank God. This morning's guest, the NFL Alumni Las Vegas Chapter President and 15-year NFL vet, Lyndon King, will be in studio with us, hopefully. Also joining the show today, Dave Musaw, to talk about Buffalo Wild Wings Monday night football parties. And we'll hear from Media Relations Director John Jiggy Maxwell with the Aces and Jim Gemma with the Aviators. And before you get, your bets down, make sure you get our picks of the week. That's What's on Tap coming up. Thanks to Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice when looking for answers for home financing. Check out cardinalfinancial.com.
Fact this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Yeah, it's a fact. Antonio Brown will make up to $15 million with $10 million guaranteed and a $9 million signing bonus as a member of the reigning Super Bowl champion New England Patriots this season. This means that in the last year, the Oakland Raiders, soon to be the Las Vegas Raiders, have lost one of the best defensive players in the league in Khalil Mack, and now one of the league's most talented wide receivers in Antonio Brown. I do want to get to UNLV football. And Mags, do you have that sound? I do want to hear that. This is John Gruden. After he found out the morning press conference that Antonio Brown was released.
You know, we just have exhausted everything. We tried every way possible to make it work. And all I'm going to say is, it's disappointing. I tell you, he's a good guy. He's misunderstood by a lot of people, but he is a good guy. He's a great player, and I hope he gets what he's looking for. And I'm going to close it with that.
And, Mags, I think you've also got this one, and this was Antonio Brown when he found out he was released. And I'm sorry, this bothered me. Go ahead, play it.
Hey, Lawson, let me see it.
Look at Adam Schefter.
The Raiders.
Free! Brother. Adam Schefter! Oh! 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 Let's go! The freedom bell ring got me fired like a free! Fly like the eagle! Let's go! Free! Let's go! Oh, I'm free. Oh. Oh. Grandma, they freed me! They freed me, Grandma!
I told you about
what now. Ah, God is the greatest.
Yeah, God is the greatest. I'll agree with him there. But about the rest of it, man, Caleb, come on, talk to me, brother. I mean, you know, it's football, it's the NFL, but this whole thing has got me spinning. I'm in a whirlwind, man. Talk to me. Straighten this out and flatten out the iron for me.
Man, you know, flat out,
that response by AB was over the top. I mean, it. Maybe he wanted to get out of there. Maybe he was unhappy. We all could see it, and we all could see why. If you're being, you know, reasonable from his point of view, you could see why he wants out. But that reaction's over the top. I mean, clearly.
Is he a Donald Trump supporter? Because I mean, everything he does has everybody to be posted on social media.
Anybody who makes $9 million a year is probably a Trump supporter because he's getting a tax break next year. That's
okay,
for sure.
That I'll say. But I mean, what's with the? Can he not post some things? You know, the reaction that he had to call his grandmother up, and we all had to see that as a nation, bothers me so much.
I don't know why. I don't know why that part bothers you so much. Because I think
don't
this
post
is what,
it.
No, this is what he is. The reason that he is who he is, the reason why he's the name that he is, the reason why everybody is talking about him, the reason why he sells tickets, the reason why he sells jerseys is because we have access to him. Whether or not it's always good, whether or not it's the best message that he's getting out there, whether or not we like what he's saying, it's good for TV. Like, it's good for the NFL that they have visible players now because of social media.
Well, I think it's good for the jerseys NFL. Jerseys sell without that kind of hoopla. I mean, if you're a great player.
Fake. That's the problem
with
it.
It's super fake. That's my thing. It's like, fake. Clearly, it's
like
fake.
Your buddy is videoing you going through Twitter. First of all, I would imagine you would hear from your agent.
Yeah.
Before you hear from Adam Schefter.
From Adam Schefter,
that you've
exactly.
been released.
You wake up to a text from your agent, yeah. not from Adam
and
Schefter.
And here's the other
100%
thing.
100% staged.
And maybe you're getting to this, maybe you're not, but I'm putting it out there. I don't have any doubt in my mind that the Patriots were tampering and Drew Rosenhaus was in contact with New England as soon as it became apparent that there was a possibility they were going to void his money.
Without a doubt.
Tampering gate.
Without a doubt.
Because first of all, the Patriots cheat. We all know that.
Yeah, I know, Chris.
But here's the thing.
How do they get around the salary cap every year?
Because
you know
because
what?
Tom Brady takes pay cuts every
year.
Yeah,
because they're smart.
Yeah, that's genius.
You know,
they're running
the
like a business.
They always save.
I know the answers. I'm just saying,
they always save money because they know that teams are stupid.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Look, you can hate them. And you could accept that.
Can you listen to this right now? I mean, let's talk about this for a second. Granted, we're talking about the senior club, but Josh Gordon, Julian Edelman, Demaryius Thomas, and Antonio Brown.
And don't worry,
have they all played in the Pro Bowl at one time
and
or another?
I'm sure. Well, there was a year.
Ridiculous.
I think they were one and two in receptions, and then they were 4 out of 5 in yards for the season, but. And don't be shocked when Gronkowski unretires in week 10 and joins the team.
I won't be shocked. I mean, believe me.
I'm picking him up on my fantasy team and just throwing him on the bench.
I heard they're in negotiations with Travis Kelce right now. He'll be a Patriot
soon.
Tom
Brady's the quarterback still. I mean, it's not like that's
Well, and this just extended his career.
And yeah, like he's going to sit back and just dink and dunk
Bill Belichick, you know, he sees Antonio Brown the whole thing. He goes, let's win one more.
One more.
I'm just saying, you know.
That's in the
privacy of his office. Let's win one
this,
more.
This
man.
Whole situation with Antonio Brown is one that could have been avoided. And it's sad to say, but it is truly highlighting the incompetence of the Raiders as a franchise right now. Because, one, John Gruden can say all he wants to that they exhausted every resource or they used everything that they could to try to keep him. I don't even think they started with the basics of having a plan on what to do with their superstar player.
Can I ask you a question real quickly? And Jose, I'm throwing you under the bus here because the bottom line is Mike Mayock is one of the best general managers in the National Football League.
Wait, what?
You don't think so?
No.
Oh, 100%.
I don't think so.
I think he is.
Why?
I think you will see why as time goes on. I really do. I think that Mike Mayock is a lot better than we're giving credit for. He didn't handle this thing right, but the bottom line is he sent a private message to Antonio Brown saying, dude, this is a problem. Okay? And it is a problem.
The Instagram post?
Yeah.
That's not a private message. That's a letter that's left in your locker room. That's sitting on your chair when you come into the locker room.
Oh, come on. That's still not something meant for the entire world to see.
But it's not something to scoff at that he posted on Instagram. It's public knowledge that he got fined. Like, everybody knows that. So it's not like he did anything to reveal your secret game plan or anything like that. That's not as bad as filming the locker room post-game conversation of your coach when he was with the Steelers. That's not as bad as that.
No, that's
But
he's done that.
So yeah, he's done that.
I mean,
are you going to count that against him for this situation? I don't think that Mayock handled this at all the right way. And I think Gruden handled it a lot better than Mayock did.
Well, of course he did. I think
the things... going back to what Antonio Brown's issues were this offseason, you got one, the frostbitten feet, whatever. Okay, that's a health thing. He has to sit out for some time in camp, right?
I don't blame him. That's one of the ones I don't blame him for.
The whole helmet situation, his grievances with the helmet, all that stuff. He was using a system in place to grieve something that he didn't agree with while he was sitting with injury. So he was injured, not able to practice because of his foot injury, and he spent more time because of that off the field. In that time, grieving his helmet issue. Now, he missed one practice with the second grievance when he left and
when
came back.
They were in Winnipeg. He missed the walkthrough.
And he missed the walkthrough. Mm-hmm. So, in my opinion, certain people on earth, you treat people fairly, but it's not always equal, especially in the world of sports. Fair, but not equal. Antonio Brown is your best player. He is the best receiver in the NFL based on his production over the past 2 or 3 years. He's the best receiver in the game.
You take him first overall as a wide receiver. You'd pick him first in the NFL.
If he's a free agent, I pick Antonio Brown first. If I'm drafting,
anybody in the NFL you want, you're going to take Antonio Brown first as wide receiver.
Simple and plain. Since 2010, receptions first, yards first.
I'm not talking about that. I can talk about.
People are making a big deal about what's going on now. He's been like this his whole career.
No, he has not.
Yes,
been like
he
this.
Has.
He absolutely
he's
has not.
Been a prima donna.
Central Michigan. He was not.
We're not talking about college.
I'm talking when he got to the Pittsburgh Steelers. He wasn't like this.
I don't know. Maybe like the last 3 years or so. He's been off.
He was not a prima donna when he went to the Steelers. He was a until you become great, you can't be a prima donna.
He's great. Is he great now?
He is great.
So my
but he's
my
also
point is,
going to be 31 years old playing this season.
No, yeah,
okay,
I get
and
that.
32 next year. I would not draft a 31-year-old, 5'9" wide receiver as the first pick in the draft, no matter what his stats are in the past.
And you would miss out on Antonio Brown.
What's it?
You would miss out on Antonio Brown.
Maybe 2 years.
So, and that's so. Here's the thing, though.
And why is nobody saying that this is part of his master plan? He probably had this all figured out. I don't think there's any coincidence.
That he started his whole grievance and all this nonsense with the Raiders right around the same time that unexpectedly Josh Gordon was reinstated. Any coincidence to that?
I don't know, but it's another point. I still think part of it is about conspiracy with the Patriots. I know you guys, there's no question you're a Jets fan as a franchise. You're a Jets fan. I can tell. I mean, and it's good that you are.
Jets fan,
it's 100%. It's good.
He's got his Reavis jersey.
It's opening day. I'm wearing a lot. It's the only day you'll see me this year with a Matthew Stafford jersey on because by week three they'll be out of the playoffs.
I thought you just forgot to take off your pajamas.
No. I wouldn't wear these to bed. I'd have nightmares, man. I mean, it's a freaking Lions jersey. But I'm just saying, Antonio Brown accomplished what he wanted to accomplish because we start our show, and most people start their shows today talking about him. All summer, we have talked about him. So he's the Dennis Rodman of the NFL. You talk about him all the time. He gets news, which is going to equate to endorsements and money after his career. God bless you, Antonio Brown. You're doing great.
I wouldn't put him in Rodman's category. But No,
I'm saying he's always in the news.
I get what you're saying.
And even when the season isn't going on, he's in the news. Like Dennis Rodman's writing books and posing in bridal gowns in the offseason. So we're talking about him. That's what Antonio Brown does. Okay, I got you. So listen, we're going to go out to the phone lines. Who you got on, Megs? We got Dave on? Okay. We're going to go out to Dave. That's right. Dave Mansell from Buffalo Wild Wings on. We're going to be talking about Blazin' right now. And Blazin' is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. It is a Hail Mary pass from Centennial Hills Hospital. 2 happy hours every day. It is America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. And, of course, tomorrow night, the debut of Monday Night Football for 2019 takes place. There's 2 games. The early game, I believe, is the New Orleans Saints and the Atlanta Falcons, and the late game is the Denver Broncos and the Oakland Raiders. We will be there for about the second half of the first game and the entire second game. Lyndon King and hopefully some other NFL alumni from the Raiders are going to be out there with us. Caleb, you going to try to make it out for a little bit tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll try to make it out.
Okay, I'd like to see you for a minute there out there. Jose, hopefully get out there. Mags, we'll see if we can get you out there of the whole crew. Should be a really good time tomorrow night. Also this year for Buffalo Wild Wings, I'll be hosting some Vegas Golden Knights viewing parties. We'll talk about that as well, but right now joining the show, the manager over at Buffalo Wild Wings in the Montecito Crossing Plaza is Dave. Dave, what's going on, brother?
How much? How you doing, bud? So you're in your pajamas at work?
Well, yeah, I'm wearing my Matthew Stafford jersey, and so Caleb and nobody can believe that I'm wearing a Lions jersey, but you know, I'm a masochist, man, so what can I do? I'm from Detroit. At least I'm loyal to my team.
Well, I got a little comment on this Antonio Brown. I wish I could have been on your show for this, but I love the trade because my Broncos are going to be 1-0 after tonight. So
nice.
After tomorrow.
Well, there you go. I've got
Brady as one of my quarterbacks on fantasy. So I mean, I don't know. It's a good day. So.
Well, it's not a bad day for Patriot fans, I'll tell you that. And for any fans that are opposing the Raiders, it's not a bad day for either. But I don't think he was going to make a difference this year. I think at best the Raiders are going to be 8-8, and that's my opinion. And I think I said this on a show on Friday. I'll say it again right now. I do not think Derek Carr will be the starting quarterback of the Oakland Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders, come 2020. But we'll see, man. That's just a prediction. Dave, talk to me, man. We're excited. I think we start our sixth season with Buffalo Wild Wings here at Out of Line, and we're looking real forward to it, man.
We're excited too, man. Tomorrow's going to be a great day. So we are, I'm sure people have heard the news. We've paired up with MGM Grand now. We've got some really exciting things coming down the pipeline with them for football, including sports betting. Not yet, but it's coming soon. But we do have what we call Picks and Props. It's our in-house free game through our Blazin Rewards app. It's just like betting, man. You play pick some winners, pick some prop bets, and it's free to play. You win some great prizes. Daily prizes, weekly prizes, and a couple of real big grand prizes, trip to New Jersey, trip to Vegas. I know where you live here, but you get it. We have a wonderful new football menu. We've got a 60-ounce pitcher of beer now, so we're on, you know, you can have your drink on with us if you want to. And then we've got a two-minute drill we're going to be doing on all the night games, so Thursday night, Sunday night, and Monday night. So we're doing it twice tomorrow night. It's shot specials, beer specials in the last 2 minutes of the first half and the last 2 minutes of the game. Some really, really good specials. So we got some really exciting stuff going on. You're going to be there on Monday nights, which is awesome. And we start off tomorrow with a doubleheader. And it's the Texans and Saints tomorrow, not the Falcons.
You're right. It is the Texans and the Saints. Falcons and Saints, division rivalry. But looking forward to it, Dave. Some of the giveaways, as we do, we give away wing parties, all kinds of different types of Buffalo Wild Wing bling, team bling. Looking real forward to it, my friend. We got a season in front of us and also a great place at Buffalo Wild Wings. You guys do some great stuff for the Vegas Golden Knights as well.
Yeah, no, we do, and we just paired up with a youth hockey organization called Sobey Ice Warriors, and they work with the Knights, but it's a wonderful organization. We're going to be a sponsor for them. I've got my name on their shirts and at their rink, so we're excited to do that. And yeah, we're just looking forward to that, man. I'm chomping at the bit. I got to go to work right now, and if you want to call it work today, I get paid to watch football all day today. So if you're looking for a place on Sunday to come watch the game, I've got them all on, man. 35 TVs. Every game on TV, so come on down and have a good time to spend the weekend with us.
That's Dave Musaw, the manager over at Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. All day today football, and tomorrow night we'll be there for Monday Night Football all season long, so definitely check us out. Dave, we will see you tomorrow night, brother. There'll be a lot of us, so get us a big table.
I will, but we'll see you tomorrow. Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, man. Absolutely. Dave Musaw. And listen, on our way to break, I just want to let you know, on the way back, we are going to be talking about, we've got the Vegas Golden Knights are in camp. They start, we're a week away from the first preseason game. They'll be playing Phoenix next Sunday. And pretty cool this preseason. If you don't have tickets yet, man, Mags, am I right? They're giving away bobbleheads at every single preseason game?
I think next Sunday is Mark Stone. And then they're giving away a Marchessault, a William Carlson, and I want to say, I wish it was a John Merrill bobblehead with a mustache.
How could it not be a Marc-Andre Fleury bobblehead?
I don't think one. I'll have it coming back from break. Who the fourth one is? But it might be Pacioretty. I'm not sure.
Okay, well, we got that. We're going to talk about the bobbleheads. We're going to talk about the Golden Knights. We also, the Las Vegas Aces play their last game in Phoenix as well today against the Mercury. Big game for them is they need a win. They got coupled with an LA Sparks loss to give them, I believe, the third seed and maybe even a home game. So we'll talk to John Jiggy Maxwell about that. Also coming up, Jim Gemma of the media relations director for the Aviators, who had a 2-1 lead after Friday night's game but lost yesterday. Now they are in one game situation today at noon, man. The Aviators win. They move on to play in the Pacific Coast League Championship Series starting Wednesday. If they lose, they're out, man. It's summertime. They start playing golf. And also, we will talk about that UNLV loss last night. I don't think any of us are overly shocked that they lost, but I think the way that they lost and I think the play of number 8 surprised all of us maybe, but Caleb Herring will be right back. About 27 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock, we are live from the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studios. This is Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman. To my left on your radio dial, co-host and former quarterback of the UNLV Rebels, Caleb Herring. To my right, Jose Sudden Death. Let me do what's on tap, Volante. And directly in front of me, like it helps you, Chris Magnum Chapman, producer, on the phone right now. And getting John Jiggy Maxwell aboard. And listen, we're going to real quickly, I want to, let's do this UNLV thing real quick. Okay, John, you got John on the phone already? Yeah. All right, let's grab John. John Jiggy Maxwell, Media Relations Director for the Las Vegas Aces, playing their final game in Phoenix today against the Mercury. John, it's a big game, man. If they win and the Sparks lose, do they get the nod and they win the division?
We do, but these days, for the past 3-4 years, winning a division isn't really a thing. The WNBA went to a situation 4 years ago where the top 8 teams, regardless of conference, make the playoffs. So you're seeded 1 through 8 based on that. There's no bonus to winning the Western Conference. And then they reseed after each round of the playoffs. They did that because Los Angeles and Minnesota, a number of years ago, were far and away the two best teams. And they were facing in the Western the Western Conference Finals, and they wanted to try and ensure that the two best teams made it to the WNBA Finals, which people have talked about doing in the NBA and other sports. I think we were a bit of a test for that to see how that would work, and certainly for a couple of years it worked because you did have LA and Minnesota squaring off in some big time final situations.
So there are perks though, being higher seeded in that 1 through 8, correct?
There are. It's definitely weighted to those top 2 seeds. Washington and Connecticut have those locked up. They get a double bye into the semifinals. If you finish 3rd or 4th, you get a single bye into the second round. First round of the playoffs is just 1 game. Second round, unfortunately, is also just 1 game. And then the semis and the finals are best 3 out of 5. Right now we're sitting in 4th place, tied with Chicago, but we've got the tiebreaker. So if we finish in 4th, we get a bye, but we still ultimately have to play a 1-game playoff, which is what you hope to avoid at the start of the year. But right now, we're just hoping to get that game on September 15th at home, give us about a week to rest and game plan for whoever comes out of the September 11th games. If we win today or Chicago loses and they're at Washington, then we've got that 4 seed and we get that much-needed break.
John, how is the health of the players right now? Is everyone pretty much geared up and ready to go? Asia Wilson seems to be back to 100%, but I mean, this team, I think, to me, from what I've seen, is they're going to need, in order to make a run this year, and I think they've got the talent to do it, they're going to need really exceptional guard play.
Yeah, no one's more beat up than they normally would be this time of the year. We've got Carolyn Swords, who missed last game and will actually miss today with going through concussion protocol. But she should be fine for the playoffs. And then Liz, as most people know, had an Achilles problem during the off season, and so we've kind of limited her practice time throughout the course of the year, and that's no different. That's actually, I think, what flared up for her the other night when we were in Atlanta. So other than that, I think everyone's pretty healthy, but you're absolutely right about the guard play. We've been fairly consistent from a Liz standpoint, an Asia standpoint, certainly Derek, a Hamby, 6th Woman of the Year candidate coming off the bench. But that trio of Plum, McBride, Jackie Young, if we can get more consistency out of that trio, then I think we can win a championship. That's going to kind of be the difference for us, I think, heading through the postseason, is how consistent can that trio be.
If the Aces win today, let's put it that way, and there is going to be a home playoff game, how soon after today will those tickets go on sale? Will you be able to get them tonight online, or will it start tomorrow morning?
So they've actually already been on sale. We just sort of haven't known when the game would be. We know that we're hosting our first game. It could be September 11th. If we're in the first round, could be September 15th. If we start off in the second round, and those games, there would only be one either on the 11th or the 15th, but that game is going to be at Thomas and Mack. So if you want tickets to that game, you can go to the Thomas and Mack or UNLV websites and pick up tickets to that game now, whether it's on the 11th or the 15th. And then we've also already been selling kind of playoff strips to the semis and finals, where when we first started, you potentially could have played 6 home games during that time. So what essentially you would do is go to the Aces website, purchase the entire strip, let's say we only end up playing four home games instead of six, a week after the finals would end, you would get reimbursed for those two games that we didn't play. So if you want tickets, you can get them right now.
Okay, I got you. One other question, John, before I let you go. So the Aces now, obviously, they win today. They get one of the upper seeds, and as you mentioned, they go forward. Any particular matchups that you think favor the Aces, or is it just a matter of, hey, let's get the best seed we can be and go forward?
Yeah, it really is to get the best seed you can be. Ultimately, I think nobody wants to play Washington. They've been head and shoulders above folks for a while now, particularly their offense, which is historically the best offense from an efficiency standpoint in league history. So any chance that you can push them off until the finals, you'd love to take. But at this point, beggars can't be choosers. There's a number of good teams in that 5-8 spot. We're playing one of them today. Phoenix has the 8th spot solidified, but they still have Brittany Griner and Dawana Bonner and Diana Taurasi, who, although she hasn't been healthy this year, would not surprise me if you get to the postseason and she decides to drop 7 threes on somebody. So there's a number of teams you don't want to play, but ultimately you've got to beat the best to be the best. So you take whoever they put in front of you and do the best you can.
He is John Jiggy Maxwell, Media Relations Director for the Las Vegas Aces, playing their final game today. You can catch that one, I believe. John, can that one be seen today on television?
I believe it's on ESPN3.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd have to check some of the other stuff. Just go to our website, and off top you'll see the information about the game. It'll tell you where. I know we're on ESPN3, which is online, NBA League Pass, I believe, and then locally Phoenix televises it, so some folks may be able to pull that down off of their various dishes.
Okay, well, check it out today. Go to the website for the Aces and get ready, man. You can get your playoff tickets right now in advance, and hopefully they will be necessary, and if not, you get reimbursed. John G. Maxwell, appreciate you joining. Good luck to the Aces today, man. We'll be talking to you very soon.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, guys. And, you know, I know you're going to be watching us, but feel free to watch some NFL football, too.
Yeah, right. Hopefully, I'm going to be at the Aviators game today, week one, and I'm going to miss most of the games except for what I record. John Jiggy Maxwell, Las Vegas Aces. Mags, you want to go to our second break now or no?
No.
Okay. Well, real quickly, Caleb, UNLV, want to ask you your opinion, man. I mean, you obviously were there. I was on the field for the second half up in the press box the first half, and I got to tell you, I posted on my website the name of a player, if you saw one of the names of the players.
Gassaway.
And I said, if he was a product, that might be the only cure for UNLV football in 2019, Gassaway, because yesterday's game, if it smelled like it looked, it would have been some very foul gas.
Yeah, I was surprised that the booze came out. I'll be honest.
I was too, Mags.
You know what? I wasn't. It was bad.
It's a college football game for a couple reasons.
A, because I've never been a big believer that you boo college kids.
No. I agree with the reasons not to boo. Yeah,
and the other thing is, I never really thought that the fan base was really cared enough to actually boo Rebel football team.
No, because I've been a part of a booed team here in Las Vegas.
Was that under Bobby Houck?
Yeah, that was okay. That Southern
Utah. You got it in, Max. I didn't know what you were going to
get in. Great job. There you go. Way to open that sore up. No, it was I've been a part of a booed stadium at Sam Boyd, so I understand that the fan base is kind of capable of growing impatient, and I think last night's game, if there was going to be any, because it was the second game of the season, and so much expectations and hopes have been built up over the offseason.
Are there expectations, though?
Yes, I think there are. At least a winning program, like to compete and be a winning program.
But I think people expect. Here's
the
thing.
I think this was a measuring stick. If you were to be on the road to be a winning program, this last night was the measuring stick. I mean, Southern Utah, you did what you're supposed to. You blew them out, of course. But this game against a team that goes to bowl games every year, it seems, for the past 8 seasons.
Yeah, Arkansas State's a good program.
Expensive. They're a good program. So they're not, you know, a Power 5 or anything like that, but they're a good, solid program, and they're where you want to be if you want to be a winning program. This was a measuring stick, and I think a lot of people wanted it to be a more even match. And for them to get absolutely destroyed like that was kind of disheartening.
I'm not going
to
ask you, because I've been here 20 years in this city. I've been through a lot of coaches at UNLV. I've seen a lot of coaches, guys like Mike Sanford, Bobby Houck. 2-3 wins was basically the ceiling. With Tony, he's elevated it to where 5-6 wins is probably what we should
expect. Don't use the word elevated. Please don't use that word.
Listen, when you are winning my senior year.
By the numbers, it's elevated.
My senior year at UNLV, they won
it's
two
an elevator
games.
That stops at the that first
John
and half Robin, floor.
John Robinson's last year, they won two games. Granted, they beat Reno and BYU, so they were the best two wins of the season. But, you know, they won two games. The year before that, they weren't very good. So I think maybe people just have too high expectations for this program.
Maybe they do, but all I got to tell you is when I looked at Desiree Reed-Francois on the sidelines yesterday, she looked like she could be wearing the jersey gas away. Okay, she didn't look very happy and looked like she had indigestion. But I knew when Blake Anderson showed up for this game.
No, there was a different team over there.
100% the emotions killed them. It was just the worst thing that could happen to UNLV is this guy to show up after his wife passed away a week and a half ago. You knew that this team was fired up and emotional that their coach showed up. And that's what happened. Listen, we got to move on. Next week, Caleb, final thoughts in Northwestern. Does this team have a prayer going to Chicago against Northwestern? Honestly.
I think every team has a prayer whenever they strap them up to play.
As long as there's God, we've all got a prayer.
Yeah.
But I mean, is it anything beyond that?
Well, you asked me the question. Okay. I don't think they're going to be favored. I don't, if that's what you're asking. So, I mean, they will play better, hopefully, but I don't think they'll be favored. I don't think it'll be realistic for anybody to think they come out of Northwestern with a win.
1-2 after next week. Okay, Mags, let's move on. And let's talk. We got Lyndon King in the house right now. NFL alumni, Las Vegas chapter president, former San Diego Charger, former Oakland Raider, and
Air Academy High Cadet as well.
There we go.
That's probably the most important thing.
That's where it all started.
I'm not going to deny that at all, man. That's where it got started. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yesterday, I guess there was a grudge match golf outing between the Denver Broncos and the Oakland Raiders.
Yes, there was. We were not affiliated with that. But a lot of my friends came out and had a good time.
Yeah, so I've been a lot of guys in town this week, and a big grudge match. What a way to start against a division rival like that. How happy do you think the Oakland Raiders, or I shouldn't say the Oakland Raiders, but the Denver Broncos are today, knowing that they won't be lining up against number 84?
Well, I'm sure they're happy. I don't think anybody here is. I got to tell you, though, I was preparing to come in here, and all the news is that, just that. And I feel bad for John Gruden because it's the absolute worst thing that can be happening in your game opener is to be worrying about this type of activity. The game has changed so much since I played, man. If you even thought about doing something like that back in the day, you were gone.
Well, the players in the locker room would beat the crap out of you.
Exactly.
I mean, it was just such a different atmosphere. Yeah. They wouldn't put up with that crap at all.
There's no team element anymore.
No.
How do you feel personally about a guy like Antonio Brown doing that? How much of a disruption is that in a professional locker room?
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. But I'll tell you something. Like back in the day, he wouldn't have made it across the middle in practice. He would have got clotheslined, and like you said, the rest of the team would have brought him back in line. But the money has gotten so ridiculous now that the NFL is pimping themselves out. They're setting them up. They're supposed to be role models for these kids, and look what they're showing them.
All I know is I love your hat, by the way.
You know what?
I don't want the light, if it shines on it right, it might blind Caleb here in the corner.
I was going to put my shade on.
You
got to
see this if you're not on Facebook Live. Check out Lyndon's hat. It's pretty sweet.
I got up late and I couldn't find a Raider hat.
Oh, man, I think I want one, man. I mean, it has got bling on it. It's got a marijuana leaf. It's pretty damn cool.
It's from Flower One. We went over there and did it.
I dig it the most.
I tell you what.
An advocate of legalization of marijuana in the National Football League.
You had to go there.
I do have to go there.
On the AB
thing, show's called Out of Line, man. You know,
on the AB thing, you talked about John Gruden and the way he's kind of putting a pickle here. I think personally, he's handled it about as good as you can as a head coach. How do you think he's handled it?
Oh, I think he's done a great job. I mean, and I've known John a long time. He's a class act, and there's I feel terrible for him to be in this spot going into the first game with a guy that's supposed to really put him in the Super Bowl, and he's gone.
You feel terrible for a guy that's making $100 million.
Okay.
Lyndon, I mean, the bottom line is, I'm about to say that the last person in the country I feel bad for is John Gruden, the $100 million man. If the guy would have given up $10 million last year, Khalil Mack would still be a Raider. I don't feel that bad for him. He should have given up some of that money and kept number 52 on the roster. Period. How happy were you coming to Vegas last year when this got started? It was so cool to see that we were going to get a chapter of the NFL alumni, and then you find out we're losing Khalil Mack. That couldn't have made you happy, right?
Well,
you're a defensive player. How much would you have loved to play with a guy like Khalil Mack?
Oh, the people around you make your career. and I'll use myself as an example. I was drafted 75th spot in the third round. Rod Martin, great Raider player.
Two interceptions in the Super Bowl.
Exactly. Drafted in the 12th round.
Works at USC now, doesn't he?
He does. He's about to retire from his second career. He's doing well. But, you know, he went to Oakland, got two Super Bowl, you know, three Super Bowl appearances. And I went to the Chargers, and we could score 100 points, but they always scored 105, so we weren't.
Don Coryell didn't give a crap about defense. All he cared about was Dan Fouts throwing the ball a million miles a year and could have cared less about his defense. Aaron Coryell for a reason.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was the architect of what you're seeing today. He really was.
He was. No question about it. I think he partially was one of the guys responsible for revolutionizing the passing game of the National Football League, 100%.
And he was a great guy. He was a quirky little guy. And I'll give you an example.
Was he ever happy? I don't know. And you know what? He could have wore a jersey called Gasaway, too. He looked constipated on the sideline, man. Didn't he?
He comes. He looked like Bobby Houck a little bit. He came in for one of our pre, you know, night before the game, the speech, and he goes, "D, you know, he had a group." He said, "D, you know, when I got back from World War II, I went to my old girlfriend's house, and I opened and I banged on the door, and some big son of a bitch up entered the door, and I said, 'Who are you?' And he hit me right in the nose, and he turned around and walked away. That was it." Okay.
The impersonation alone was hilarious.
We could have Corey listen to that. God, that was phenomenal.
Unfortunately, Don passed away.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah. I mean, maybe he is hearing it right now. You're going to walk out here and feel like a pain in your knee or something and know it's Coryell kicking you. But, pretty cool back then, and it did. But going back to tonight's game, you've got the first Monday night game. You've got the Raiders pretty much adopted. And I was going to ask you, you're getting in town. You're a new resident, basically under a year in Las Vegas right now. How do you feel the atmosphere in Las Vegas is, and do you feel there is a lot of fans that maybe weren't loyal to a particular NFL team that are all jumping on the Vegas or the future Las Vegas Raiders bandwagon?
I think once the team gets here, it's going to be a different scenario. However, right now, I'm surprised. This is a Dallas Cowboy fan base city here.
Matt, you got something I can throw up in.
I am disappointed in Las Vegas right now.
I am so
disappointed in that.
Moreland and myself went to a hospital last week to visit with the kids, and every one of them hated the Raiders.
Oh, my gosh.
But, you know, if we can have a season, a good season, it'll get everybody off to a good start, just like the hockey team last year. I mean, how do you follow that? Well, we're going to have to see.
Well, you know, Vegas seems to be a good place for new teams. The Aviators, the Las Vegas Aviators playing today in a Game 5. They make the playoffs in their first season in Vegas. We all know what the Vegas Golden Knights did, one of the most magical things I think anyone saw. And maybe the Raiders will be decent next year. Now, I want you to not be a fan and be realistic right now. I know you follow the Raiders. What do you think of Derek Carr? Not as a person. I think he's a wonderful human being, but as a quarterback and a guy to lead this team in the future to the promised land. That's all that he needed to say.
I got to tell you, it's a delicate situation. It's easy to sit to talk analytically about numbers and stats and all that kind of stuff. I've been, you know, I was there a long time, and I've seen the personal aspect of this thing. And he, just like Gruden, I mean, I read an article this morning about how he's been slumping around in the locker room after the, you know, they got rid of their number one, you know, receiver. You have to take all that stuff into account. You can be an average player and get inspired and go out and do great things. I think he has a lot of ability. I think he would have been moved out of there if Gruden didn't think the same thing. It's a matter of time. And the thing that Gruden does when he comes in is he takes his time. He's got a 10-year contract, so why not? But he's building himself a team, and it might take a few years, but it'll get there.
I hope so for his sake. I mean, 100, and for all of our sake, because the bottom line is he was so well respected when he left the field and went to the broadcast booth, had these quarterback camps and something we all look forward to watching him with the different quarterbacks. If this doesn't work out for him, what kind of validity would he have to go back into the broadcast booth if all of a sudden he falls flat on his face as a head coach, which, based on last year, we're going to have to see an improvement over the next couple of years. He'll never make it 10 years without it.
Correct.
But to me, all of a sudden, Lyndon, if I see him go back in the broadcast booth based on what I've seen, and if Derek Carr doesn't materialize into a good quarterback, he loses a little bit of validity with me. I don't think I'd be as interested in his quarterback camps anymore when he couldn't develop this quarterback.
I think he would take his $100 million and go home.
And be okay and with that.
Care. Yeah.
He'd be okay with it.
Picky, give me I'd one. I'd be happy think, with just
I
one
think,
of them, man.
I think his credibility gets
doesn't
improved.
Matter.
No,
doesn't
I
matter.
Think I think based on this what he's done so far, I think his credibility gets improved with what he's done with Nathan Peterman alone. Yeah. I think because he saw something in him, whatever it was, and Nathan Peterman came out and had a great preseason, albeit right. preseason, but he's developing players. He's making, he's taking risks, taking chances. He's still developing
I
want to
see Peterman under pressure like we did in Buffalo last year and see if he can throw five picks in a game again. That might be cool. I don't know. No, I'm just saying, man. I
well,
mean,
John Gruden won't let it get that far. I don't think John Gruden lets anybody
yeah, after the
five
third
picks
John,
and a half.
Yeah, Chucky would start going nuts and it
come
would be over
seat,
with.
Come have a seat next to me, son.
I would hope so. Well, I want to real quickly, Caleb, and I want you to ask Lyndon a question because we have a new feature that this is part of it right now that Caleb is starting this week. And it is, I got a name for it. Did you see the name?
S and B with C.
What do you think?
Where we get silver because, and black
silver
and go
black,
behind the pass?
Silver and black has been so over copyrighted that I would probably have 35 lawsuits if I use that. So I thought S and B with C. And
like
it's all about the Raiders, right?
I like
so,
it.
So this is the first round of that. It's going to be all about the Raiders. We'll be talking about them every week. And the first question I want to ask you and Lyndon, I'll pose it to both of you. How well are the Raiders going to do this year? Caleb, you first.
That's such a tough question. Like, it's not really...
I'm not asking to be Nostradamus
no,
here.
I mean, but you're, are you saying how many wins are they going to get?
I'm saying how
they make
good
the
are they... Or? How good do you think they're going to look this year?
You don't... there's no way of knowing that right now, right. in my opinion.
You just gave Nathan Peterman a ringing endorsement based on preseason.
Like I
so
said,
can't you base their team on preseason?
No, because
no,
Nathan Peterman...
Nathan
Peterman will not be the starting quarterback for the Oakland Raiders. So I cannot base anything off of the preseason.
If Derek Carr goes down, yes, he will be.
And anybody who bases the team's success or potential off of the preseason really doesn't have a clue
what
what's
do you
going
think
on.
By
week
the
one,
personnel.
Week one will have a better idea, but
okay.
I mean, the Raiders have 12 new starters on the team. So it's a different team than it was last year even. So we don't really know what they're going to be yet. We got to let things materialize. So I'm not going to make any bold predictions as to will they make the playoffs.
So you're under that old impression that when you have a gut feeling about something, it's actually guess.
When you have a gut feeling about something that you haven't seen yet, it's probably gas.
Okay.
Yeah, you probably.
I have to agree with my man.
I
you
knew
know,
you were going to jump on that bandwagon.
Preseason is a joke. I mean, it really is. You don't nobody. They don't show anything. You don't get to play your best people, so you can't go by that. Injuries. There's so many things that come into play. It's impossible to make a prediction like that. It is. But you know, again, Gruden's got this building thing going. We can just hope that their people stay healthy and we start to see what he envisions.
I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to show that it's not that difficult. I'm going to say that the future Las Vegas Raiders, current Oakland Raiders, will go 6-10 this year. That's my opinion.
6-10. Okay.
6-10.
Write
it down. I'm putting it down right now. Listen, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to go right to our picks for this week. We're going to let Lyndon King get involved too, so we'll let him look at the paper and make one pick as well. This is Out of Line. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, and we are brought to you by the Cardinal Financial Company. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Out of Line. We are going to our Las Vegas Aviators report, brought to you by the Las Vegas Aviators, AAA franchise of the Oakland Athletics. Joining us right now, Media Relations Director, is Jim Gemma on the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio line. Hey, Jimmy, what's going on? Another late night for you last night.
Brian, thanks for having me on. It's basically game five today. The winner advances to the PCL Championship Series starting Tuesday. It'll either be here in Las Vegas or in Sacramento against either Iowa or Round Rock, because they're also going to the deciding fifth game today in Des Moines.
Yeah, pretty surprising. Both series ended up going to the decisive fifth game. They'll both be played today. The Las Vegas ballpark hosting the Aviators game today at 12:05 is first pitch, right, Jimmy?
Correct, 12:05.
And still tickets available?
Yes, absolutely. I just purchased them at the Las Vegas Ballpark box office, probably opening up here in a little while.
Yeah, if you haven't been to a game yet, man, you still got a chance to go today, and it is the decisive Game 5, another successful franchise in their first season in Las Vegas. The Aviators, of course, just moved here, and appreciate it. Jimmy, man, I watched the game Friday night. They looked so dominant other than in the eighth inning. They let Sacramento come back a little bit, but what's going to be the key to this team winning tonight?
Yeah, today? Well, last night, Carlos Navis for Sacramento pitched a great game, had a no-hitter into the sixth inning. Today, you know, as you know, in fifth games, I mean, anything can happen, an error here or something goes wrong for either team, and that's the way it goes. So we'll see how things work out today, and it's been a really good series. The Sacramento has a very good team.
Sacramento's got a good team, but so do the Aces. I'll tell you what, a few of their real good players did get called up to the big club, but there's still some great guys to watch down here with some great names. My favorite name in all of professional sports right now, Sky Bolt, and he got a home run in each of the first three games, plays the outfield for him, and I said, you know, the only thing is, Jimmy, Sky Bolt sounds like a great punter for the San Diego Chargers. Could you get a better one than Sky Bolt?
No, you could.
I mean, that's pretty good. Jim Gemma, Media Relations Director for the Las Vegas Aviators, appreciate you as always, Jim, and I'll see you out there this afternoon.
Thanks for having me on. Take care, guys.
Absolutely. Okay, guys, let's wrap this thing up. It is time for our NFL picks segment, and we started it last week. We did the Thursday night game. Four of us picked, and only one of us came out a winner. I said,
you just couldn't wait to say that.
I have to do it, man.
Just couldn't wait to say that.
You're right. Hey, I said the Packers would not only cover the spread on Thursday night, I said they'd win outright, which they did. Their defense is dramatically improved, and you still got Aaron Rodgers, man, period.
Yeah.
The Chicago Bears, as good as that defense is, I think we saw some of the vulnerability of Mitchell Trubisky. The NFL, man, is an amazing league. 1 year you have success, they figure it out the next year, don't they, Lyndon?
Yeah, they do. And you have to remember, even the worst team in the NFL is made up of first and second, third round draft choices. They're all great athletes, it's a matter of putting it together. Now, my pick is going to be the Raiders, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because the defense is the one that's going to have to carry this. Whenever the offenses have something going on, the defense has to step up, and I think they will. They got a lot to prove, and they brought in some good people. So I'm just going to go with the Raiders. Do I need a score here?
No, you don't have to give a score. The Raiders, you're getting 2.5 points. They can lose by two, okay, and you'll still win.
All right.
So you're in pretty good shape. Lyndon's going with the Raiders. I don't think it's a bad pick. They're at home, and there is something about home underdogs in week one and the first couple weeks of the NFL season. I think when you're at home, it's the first game. There really is something to the 12th man. And yes, that is why that is going to also equate to my pick, which is going to be the Carolina Panthers hosting the NFC, former NFC champion, Los Angeles Rams. They're taking them on. They're giving up. They're getting 1.5 at home. And I think Carolina is going to be improved, too. I think Christian McCaffrey is going to absolutely have an incredible season for him. And I think we'll see Cam Newton rebound as well. I like the Panthers getting 1.5 at home as another home underdog. What do you got, Caleb?
I like the Browns. I'm going to go with the home favorite. They're getting 5.5 on the latest, but it was 6, I think, when the paper was printed, but I'm going with the Browns to beat the Titans at home with their opener. That team's going to be electric, going to put up a lot of points.
Browns are giving up 5 points in that one. Jose?
I'm going with the homer pick. I'm taking the Jets over the Bills.
I knew you were going to go with the Jets. Jose's got the Jets, and Mags?
I'm also going with the Jets.
You guys are hopeless.
Giving up 3 points at home against...
No, 2.5. It's 2.5.
3 on here, 3 in the paper.
See
against
what I mean?
The Bills.
It's 2.5 everywhere else.
11 o'clock a.m.
That's what we're doing. Listen, this is Out of Line. I want to thank everyone for joining the show tonight. Lyndon King for coming in studio with his beautiful girlfriend sitting behind me. Also want to thank, of course, Jimmy Gemma, John Jiggy Maxwell, and Dave Musaw from Buffalo Wild Wings. Thanks, Caleb Herring, Chris Magnum Chapman, and Jose Sudden Efelante. I'm Brian Feldman. Out of Line. We're here every Sunday, 8 to 9, Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM Fox Sports Radio. We will be back same time next week. Bye-bye.